Hey, what's up, everybody? Juan Martinez, a.k.a. Dr. Love.
And I'm Stephanie Martinez, right?
And you've just joined us on This Is Real. And so the plane landed, and we are in Honduras. So first, I'm going to introduce, well, why don't you introduce?
Yeah, my lovely wife, Alejandra Ali Harrington. Hey, say hello.
Hello.
Yeah. Hey, she's like, what?
Yeah, brown and proud to all the brown people.
Come on, to all the brown people. Yeah. And so, okay, I felt like I bring you on at this moment because you were talking about when you first went to Honduras,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So you land in Honduras. We're going to go back to your story because something happens in Honduras, mm-hmm, right? So you get to Honduras. What happens? What happens when you're in Honduras?
You know, so one got stirred up my heart to go through a friend that I had. He was actually Brazilian, Honduran, and grew up in New York, Brooklyn.
Yeah.
And anyway, when I started
Big ups, Brooklyn.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead.
Considering going to Honduras with him, I called my mom and like, hey, I'm thinking about going to Honduras. She goes, well, you know, your grandfather helped build and plant a church in Honduras whenever you were a baby. I was like, no, I've never heard that story.
Yeah.
I'm 33 years old at this point, 32, and I've never heard this story. And so that's just another God moment. So a couple of years passed. I go to Honduras because I know I've got to go at some point. And God set that whole thing up. That's a whole other story, another time. Just takes too much time.
Yeah.
I go to Honduras. I'm there in Honduras and doing ministry with another group. And on a Thursday before we're about to leave, you know, I'm talking with the Lord, and it's just a crazy week. And it's just like the Lord's speaking in every direction. And I go to a prison where gang members were. God gave me a vision on the way over that I would be preaching to these kids. 21 of them gave their lives to the Lord. And it was just crazy how everything was set up. That Thursday, we went to a homeless shelter in Honduras and just all kind of crazy. People were getting delivered. It was
beautiful.
I asked him, he said, I want you to stay here. I said, yeah, but he goes, I want you to stay here. I said, yeah, but if I do that, then I was supervising stores because I was going to get into business, right?
Yeah.
The Waterbury. So I said, if I do that, then I need you to give me, I need you to replace me in the two stores that I'm at and give me more support than I can imagine. Or give me support rather. He answered, I'll give you more support than you can imagine. And I cried for the next 3 hours.
Okay, you crying.
I'm crying. I'm bawling. Like soul, like snot, just life transformation.
Yep.
Now I've got to go, you know, have all these conversations with people who are trying to assist me, my family, to get it. Anyway, within a month, I'm moving to Honduras. I'm moving. I'm going for it. And so I'm on my way, and my pastor called me and said, hey, you know, we want you to be our pastor of missions, and we're going to give you a salary, you know, like $1,000, $1,500. $300 of it I want you to, you know, use for the ministry. And he started doing it. The Lord started giving me support. I didn't see that coming.
Yeah. Just so came, you're living in Honduras, missionary.
Moving in Honduras.
Boom. You don't know no Spanish at this time. This is where you start learning Spanish.
No. I knew from that time that I had found out that my grandfather helped plant a church. I started teaching myself Spanish in the mornings and in afternoons.
Yo.
I would drive to work an hour. I would listen to things in Spanish. I'd drive home for an hour. I'd listen to things in Spanish. I had everything labeled in my bedroom in Spanish. Everything.
Yeah.
So I was adopting everything in Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
So when I moved to Honduras, this lady, she gave me a place to stay on this compound, and I'm there, and I don't have a vehicle, I don't have anything.
Mm-hmm.
This I got connected with a teacher who's a translator, but he's a great teacher. Ariel Prieto is his name. And so we meet once or twice a week, and he's helping me fill the gaps of my Spanish and communicate. And so, yeah, man, so I, you know, it was a life-changing situation. There was nights where I'd be crying, like, what am I doing here? What have I done? You know, what am I here for, Lord? Because you go, but that's all the direction I had. And so I just was using and doing whatever I knew to do. So I was helping this other couple who were from Kentucky. They weren't living in Honduras, but they had started a ministry in the border, though. And so it was a little squatter village on the side of a river. They were all there illegally, but they had built a little community center for all the kids to come.
Mm-hmm.
And so weekly, me and another guy, Christian, and another girl would meet over there, and we would just minister to the kids.
Yeah.
We did this week after week after week. We'd go to Manos Unidos, which is where the homeless shelter was, and we'd minister there as well. We'd go to Las Casitas, the girls' orphanage, and it was just a ton of girls, and there was just a bunch of, you know, they just needed love. I mean, they were just drained. These girls were, it was sad stories. They'd have their luggage packed. My dad's coming today. Mm-hmm. Next week.
Wow. Like,
boy.
Yeah.
All kind of crazy things going on in there.
So when does the moment happen?
So we go through, I'm there for a couple of months, and now I'm like, what do I do, Lord? So there's a lot of young adults. I'm still a young adult, but there's younger adults that are coming. And I was like, well, I guess I'm just going to start ministering to them and raising them up as leaders. And so that's where that equipper started to kick in. And so I started just equipping them. We're buying Baleadas. We're buying Pepsi, 2-liter Pepsis, and some crayons, colors, whatever, and giving them the tools to minister to the kids. And I'd sit down with them and teach them colors and English and numbers. Yes. So, week after week after week, we're doing that. And then all of a sudden, Allie, one of them, Elena, I think, tells Allie, hey, there's a gringo over here. And he's really
taking
from Athens.
From Athens. And you thought Greece.
Greek God.
You're like,
yes.
I'm in. And then he's like, Texas. You're like, what? So what happens on the other side? How are you in Honduras? What are you doing over there? You just live there?
I'm born and raised Honduran.
Really? Honduran.
Catracha, 100%.
Catracha. Todo yes. Catrachacheños. Okay, so you out there in Honduras. Are you saved at this time? Do you love the Lord? Are you like on fire for God?
Yeah.
Fire.
I gave my life to the Lord when I was 13, and I started doing mission trips, medical mission trips.
Really?
The Rise Foundation, World Vision, and it was basically just like I was called like to be a missionary in my own country. And
I love that. I love that because I have a thing. Obviously, we have a thing. We call it Mission America because I feel like, hey, you got to clean up your own backyard before you could actually go do somebody else's, right? That's just my thing. Now, I love when people go to other places and all that, but I feel like I have a church here. So I'm like, yo, guys, we got down the street. We got all these countries down the street. Yeah. So I like when you're flipping it in a sense because you're over there and you're like, hey, no, I'm a missionary to my own country.
Yes, that's right. And I feel like, you know, when you go to scripture and you read that verse, like when you're faithful with a little, God will, you know, give you much more. He will require much of you. So I love that. And I love doing missions. I love doing the medical missions, which it sparked the nursing career inside of me. I'm like, okay, I might go to the college go to nursing school. And that's when I really met I met Nathan in the parking lot of our my college in Honduras. He picked me up.
I wasn't just hanging out in the college.
I was going to ask you that. You were just hanging out there.
All these catarachas.
No, he picked me up.
Vale mío.
By this time, he had been there for about 6 months, and he picked me up in his pickup truck with my friend Elena there, and we were about to go minister to the Bordos, which is like the squatter village.
Yeah.
And he was... he was handsome. What caught my eye also, like, was not just his handsomeness.
Yes. Come on, let's talk about this.
But he was the first American that I met that stayed there for long-term missions with not just, I'm going to bring you stuff
and
take pictures and then that's it. I am discipling them and I'm doing the Great Commission. I'm not just talking about Jesus,
yes.
but I am teaching you and getting, you know, you in a relationship with Jesus. So I love that. And I was like, okay, that's something keyword support. I can support that. And so that's, I'm the more support than you can imagine that God brought.
She was too. She was a part of it. She is a part of that, that's for sure.
Hey, so you guys are both pastoring a church now.
Yeah.
Right? I thought the story was just phenomenal. You know, I thought the story, you know, of you just meeting in Honduras and then getting married. How long after did you get married?
Oh, man, 6 months. 6 months or so, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Maybe 8 after that.
He's already been in Honduras for a long time. He ain't going nowhere.
Well, we came back to the States. So I came back to the States. We met in August. And then in September, I go back to the States for 6 weeks. Went to some conference. And
you're like, mama? I done brought home a Honduran.
Not yet. No, not yet. She's coming, though. When I go back, so we connect every day. You know, what was Skype was the thing back
Skype.
Then?
Yeah, Skype. We would do Skype.
WhatsApp, too.
Yeah, right? And WhatsApp calls.
Yeah. And so when I got back,
hey, WhatsApp is like WhatsApp.
You know, like what's up? Yeah. I go back in October that year, and we're together. Like I see her, we're together every day from then. I mean, like literally every day. So her family's one member or somebody's traveling with us to help translate. She's translating for me. We're traveling around the country.
That's
we're
fire.
Ministering
my grandma too. Talking about grandmas, you know, he talked about his grandmother. My grandma would travel with us to minister to the villages in the outskirts of San Pedro Sula.
Come on, yeah. that's that Pentecostal grandma. That's that y el fuego del Señor.
So, yeah, by December she's coming home with me, and we get engaged December 28th, and then we're like, well, she's got, you get 6 months or so to stay, and then you got to go back on your visa, and they get the permit.
Yeah, it gets complicated, right?
And so we're like,
if you get engaged, you have to have a engaged, like fiancé visa, so all of this loops that you have to.
If you go back home, you got to come back.
But you guys walked it out, which is, I think, important, especially in times like this, because everybody's, in their feelings about a lot of this stuff.
Yeah,
but you walked it out and you persevered and you did all these things, and then now you're together. Now you're actually pastoring a church, right?
Yeah.
And so that's incredible.
Yeah.
And the vision has grown, right? Because now you're literally going back, I think, here soon, and then we're all going over there, right?
Yeah.
Collaboratively to bring the good news to Honduras, which has got to be really cool for y'all, because started as stupid, now you're like, you keep gathering friends. Let's go. And so that's cool. And so I love it, the big smiles. I see the way you guys hug each other walking down the hallway. Like, I watch all that stuff because I'm like, let me see. So I like the behind the scenes.
You're Dr. Love.
I do. I just really enjoy seeing, because we're all, those that are married, we all understand what it's like to be a marriage. And we know that if we're all going to say what has us together is Jesus in the center.
Yeah.
And so if you remove that, or you start furthering from it, that's when things start getting crazy, right? So I guess I want to ask you guys a question, okay? Because I asked you before the show if I can go there. I didn't tell you where I was going to go, but I want to go there because I feel like a lot of times, again, like we started Pastor Nathan's story, everything's awesome. They're like, oh, yeah, of course, because, he's rocking the orange Whataburger. Because, of course, they're doing good, of course, right? But nobody really goes back to like, okay, guys, this is his story. And now this has a lot more meaning. And actually, hopefully, they picked up a lot of steps into saying, man, these are some of the things they persevered. Wow, the good grandfather's, all these people, all these things, right? So when they see you guys happy, I want to talk to you guys on... I'll put you in the DeLorean later because I want to put you in the DeLorean. But the DeLoreans became the epicenter of.
Wait, is it two seater or three seater?
No. I'm only putting her in the DeLorean.
You've already been.
I want to hear her side. But I do want to hear you both speak into how long you guys been married now?
13 years.
13 years. So you have cultural differences, that had to be like a thing. And then, the whole process of all that had to be a thing. So I'm thinking, even though you guys are hugging down the hallway, maybe it wasn't always hugging down the hallway. If we go back, some years, where was the time and what were the issues you guys were having when you guys were having marital issues? And I know I one thing I respect about y'all, and I think I texted out yesterday, is that as our friendship keeps developing and it keeps growing, like, we've been pretty transparent and open with each other. And, because there's just some things that pastors can kind of just talk, right?
Yeah.
But the human side of having good, solid conversations. And I love the way my wife was like, I love the way she just opened up. We didn't have to, like, pry it out of you, You actually started asking questions, So I'm going to ask you a question right now. And it's, go back to a time where your marriage wasn't all this that it is right now. And what did it look like?
Okay, so we like to say that I was highly demonized and he was a complete jerk.
Okay. Yeah, that's really good.
Arrogant.
Hold on. What's your transparency? Before we start, because I was going to really take off right there. And my apologies. But I remembered something that I was like, I don't want to ask that.
Yeah.
What is your motto on transparency and vulnerability?
Okay, so there's a difference. You can be transparent all day long. Like, I grew up Catholic, so I can go to the priest, right? And I can just like, okay, I'm going to confess my sins and I can give them all. And like, you know, I did this, that, like I'm like this or that. But am I truly being vulnerable?
Yeah.
Am I truly being changed? Like the repentance part. So I think my spill is, and I am a transparent person, but I'm not with all people, I'm not vulnerable.
Vulnerable, yeah.
So I think there is a difference. There's a line that you cross, and it has to be in a safe place. It has to
totally
be with certain people that I can be really vulnerable.
That's amazing. I we could talk about that for 3 hours because I'm real big on that. Like, especially because even in most marriages are failing because they can only be transparent with each other and not vulnerable. And that's a, because, you know, I think I asked the team even the other day, well, are they a safe place, you know, within the team?
Yeah.
Because I'm like, if a person says something to you, the safe place is how you respond to that person, right? Mm-hmm. And that's learned behavior. You got to practice that, you know? And so I was like, yeah, because if a person can't, because they say, oh, well, they don't talk to me about it. Well, because they can't.
Yeah.
Because if they're vulnerable and they go, well, this is a season where I'm experiencing, and they start going into that. Mm-hmm. Most wives or husbands, they blow up or, what are you doing? And I haven't done anything yet. I'm actually telling you because, you know, I tell guys all the time, I could help you with prayer.
Yeah.
But I can't, you know what I'm saying? I can't, like, what up? You know, because, like, I don't do that. You know, I'm married and I'm a man.
Yeah.
Right? But I think the only one that could actually help you is your partner. So I like that you're saying that, and I just wanted to preface that, especially in the homes, vulnerability is really important if you want to grow.
Yeah.
You want to grow, right? Because you say, well, I can't talk about it. It's like, so you're never going to grow.
Yeah.
That's right.
Because you just avoided the difficult conversation. You got to have hard ones.
And then you're never going to heal, you know, because you need to have that vulnerability that it's driven by the repentance that is going to make you whole. It's going to heal you.
Yeah, I'm willing to change about what I'm talking about, and I'm willing to be really honest with the depths of my heart in the matter, not just transparent without, you know, an idea that I might need to change. And so vulnerable is, man, I'm going to really pour out my heart, but I'm also going to be open to hear and receive because I'm vulnerable.
I don't know if they're on it, but that's a hallelujah moment. Yeah. I don't know if they... I'm just saying that if the planet would grab that,
yes,
yeah,
that alone,
yeah,
just within the body, because healing comes from that, right? Yeah. It's almost like we avoid the very thing we need because it feels uncomfortable and it agitates, but it's the very thing that you got to get comfortable with.
Yeah.
You know, we have all these cliche sayings of like, you know, uncomfortable, but then you got to get comfortable with the uncomfortable, and that's part of it, right?
That's right.
Okay, so. Boom, demonized. And what was he?
Arrogant jerk.
Arrogant jerk. Okay.
Highly.
So he's like, you're demonized. And you're like, and you're a jerk.
Yes.
Okay, so talk to me. What do you look like at this moment? And what, because I like the fact that I want to hear you say what you think the other person would say about you in that moment, right? So what are you as that? What do you think he would say that was a demonized person at that moment? How were you? Were your hair spinning? Were you growling?
I was very volatile. I was reactive on everything, because I had expectations that he was my Prince Charming. He had rescued me from, you know, Honduras, this poor third world country, bringing me to America. You have to, you know, act like this. And I made an inner vow saying, I'm not going to marry a person like my dad, which my dad has all been redeemed by the Lord. But I always saw my dad as like, okay, no, I'm not going to marry a person like this. And I did found him. He was nothing like my dad, very driven, intentional. I know that with Nathan, he says something and he's going to do it. So I made that inner vow, which I'm like, okay, now you have to, this is the standard.
Yeah.
And you have to, if you come short of that I, in my idea, I had the expectation, then it would ruin my whole day.
Yeah. You're going to get angry.
Yes.
And you're going to know I'm angry.
Yeah. and I'm gonna slam doors. I'm gonna drive super fast in the car.
Yeah.
I'm gonna throw shoes.
Yeah. I'm gonna throw shoes at you.
All the shoes, or only the chocolate. Not the good shoes, right? Like, don't throw the good. Oh no, throw the good shoes too. Oh yeah. No! Yeah. I'm more like the shoes.
Yeah. Okay. I threw a shoe at him one time, and it landed right in his back, and he just looked at me like I was just like, okay. Like,
usually you think after. You do the emotions, yes. Which is not the way to do it. No. But that's how normal, right? That's like, I'm going to throw the shoe then. Yeah. Oh, I shouldn't have thrown the shoe. I shouldn't have thrown, because you got Jesus. So that comes in after, right?
Yes.
Like, you just threw a shoe. Oh, I know.
Wow. And he didn't say anything. He just kept walking. But that look he gave me, I was like, oh.
Okay. So yours was the...
Arrogant jerk.
Okay, what's the arrogant jerk look like? Give me a description.
Made her feel like I wouldn't listen to anything she had to say, didn't honor anything that she had to input, because of my arrogance, confidence, I didn't worry about the things that she worried about. I wasn't always distracted or had fear of the things that, you know, culturally she grew up with. You know, we have open fields and fences if we want them, but we don't have to have them. They have brick walls that go above your head and glass on top or razor wire that you stay within. So that brings a different dynamic. And so when I lived free, it was like, oh, no, what are you doing? We can't do that. It's not. And so there's a tension. And because I had confidence to live freely, she, you know, I was arrogant and I was proud and I was, you know, all these things. And the more she would see me through a fear of her father, the more she would try to whittle me down to actually become him rather than, you know, understanding what he's nothing like. Yeah. So that was a tension that we had to discover. And,
But where do you take, I hear that I can see where that goes, but where do you take personal responsibility on maybe some of your arrogant jerkness? Remember, now we're sitting here. This is like we're mediating in front of the world right now.
Yeah, we're vulnerable. We're vulnerable. We're being transparent.
Yeah, yes. You know, because a lot of times what we do, like even for me, like a lot of my story is Ruthie was sharper the tongue, you know, and I can say that. Mm-hmm. But then I had to, at some point, take personal responsibility for some of the things, because it's real easy to say, well, I was this because of this. Yeah. At some point, we can't do that. And let me give you the reason why. Because I feel like then I could say, well, I now fast forward and you're like, if you could use that, then you're also going to use, well, I'm sorry, I shot this guy because I felt this way. You know, if we keep doing that, I'm going to treat you based upon what you treated me, or this is why I went through it, which I can see why that happens.
Right.
But I also want to know, where do you take personal responsibility and maybe some of your actions
in the
early days of your marriage? Because now you guys are, I mean, I just saw it, right? I know that everybody bumps heads, but I could see the closeness, right? But I'm saying then, what are some of the things that you can personally take? Like, let's say, because I always talk about the pulling out a mirror rather than a magnifying glass, right? So magnifying glass, she was like this, she was like that, she was like this. So, of course, I became this, and which some of those things are true.
Yeah.
But what is the mirror in your life right now?
So in that point,
she's like, yes.
Yeah, no, that's good. In that point, the way that we were in ministry at this point, I was on staff at a church first year, full year. We're married and this is all happening. But also there was still a development of having to grow in ministry. And so, or as a self, so, you know, Freedom Ministry, which was happening at Gateway, there was a training that was there. I went, and that's when God really started to speak to me. So I felt like I didn't sleep for a week because God was identifying all the little things. Oh, you had this safety guard because of the previous marriage and then these other relationships. Good. Remember, you got hurt like this in this relationship when you were growing up, when you were going through your hurt pains and your hurt life. And now you're putting that on her. And so there was just a constant breakdown.
Triggers.
All that stuff was having to be addressed, you know, repented of. And she's talking about vulnerability.
Come experience the love that will change your life every Sunday at Get Rap Church.
Visit us at 23221 Alden Westfield Road in Spring, Texas, 77373 for 3 services at 9 a.m., 10:15 a.m., and 12 p.m.
Not in Houston, not a problem. Join us for our online service from anywhere in the world by downloading our free Get Rap TV app or by visiting Get Rap Church's YouTube channel.
Also, be sure to check us out at Get Rap People on all social media platforms to stay up to date on everything happening at Get Rap Church.
Well, good.
before the Lord, ask for forgiveness and giving forgiveness and all this whole arena of repentance and forgiveness, of giving and receiving and asking and requesting. And so the heart work can be done on me first. And so
you got to work on you.
Yeah.
Right? Because a lot of times we try to work on the other person.
Yeah.
You know, if you would just, yeah. rather than, yeah. I think yeah. when me and Ruthie had some issues in the first 3 years, the moment everything started changing was when I was taking personal responsibility and I started working on Juan, and I stopped trying to tell Ruthie what she needed to do. Yeah. And then Ruthie started working on Ruthie
yeah.
without worrying about what Juan needed to do. Even though we discussed and dialogued, we were still really more focused on self with Jesus.
Yeah.
And you always wind up, if this is Jesus, you always wind up here.
Yeah.
Right?
That's right.
So yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah. So go ahead.
Yeah, in that process. And so a lot of that, and a lot of humbling, and just, you know, trying to do that, trying to recognize when she does this, what does it do inside of me? Now that I have those tools, what does it do inside of me? And then I go try to follow the Lord to the root of that. Why does that do that in me? And where did that come from? And a lot of internal dialogue with the tools, freedom tools that I gained through all of this.
Yes.
And then I have to put it in practice. So I'm not one who's going to fake it. I'm not one who's going to act like somebody I'm not. Then I've got to let this thing be real so it can really overflow.
Mm.
And so that's when favor started to come my way even more so, and God's grace. And so everything just started to flourish any area that I would do that and be vulnerable.
Yeah.
So it encouraged me.
I like it. Okay. So how does the demonized and the... what jerk? What is it?
Arrogant
jerk. How do they? Sure. Obviously, I know you guys started working on yourselves, right? And then, what would you say was the turning point to like get out of that? Right? Because you're trying to maneuver. Maybe you're not throwing a shoe anymore. That lessened. Maybe you're thinking about throwing the shoe. You know, but at what point do you guys? What was your breaking point? Because I love the fact that God is a restorer.
Yes.
That God is a redeemer.
Thank you, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
I love it.
The greatest stories of all, you know, when you see people doing really great is because they have those moments.
Yeah.
We think that those moments don't exist. The reason God put them in the Bible was because
that's right.
they exist.
And still do.
Right? He just doesn't put like everything like, you know, just flawless.
Yeah.
You know? No, he tells you how to get heaven down here.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
And when you put Jesus in the center, it changes stuff. So what was your turning point? What was where you were like, okay. I am crazy? Because in those moments, what I'm saying, in those moments for all of us, whatever the crazy, not the God part, but the crazy, the world, at what point... You know, like sometimes we convince ourselves that we're not that and it's everybody else's fault, right?
Yeah.
And we're like, well, it's really you, because if you would actually be this, then I wouldn't be this, right? Or if you would be, right?
A lot of those conversations,
totally, right?
Both ways.
At what point do you go, oh my God, I have an issue? And like, I really need, like, at what point do you admit to yourself that, you know, man, I'm tripping?
I feel like for me, leading up to all of this, crazy demonized lady. We got separated for a week. It was a week or around a week. And by that time we had a garden. And so this is like nothing spiritual or anything.
Keep talking. Let's hear it.
I remember just like the garden was full of weeds and I was tilting it for the first time because he had done all the job. Like he had planted the garden, like water it, all of it. And I see that garden and it's full of weeds. And so I get out there and I start pulling all the weeds.
Hard work.
Uh-huh. And I just felt alone. I just felt so alone. And I felt lonely. And I just... pulling the weeds out of the garden. And then I sat down in our porch. We had a beautiful porch. And I just heard, like, you're not alone. Like, you're not lonely. It was something like, you're not alone. You feel lonely, but you're not alone. And I just felt, you know, really surrounded by God and that afternoon Nathan showed up and we reconciled. Like, it was, we had to talk for a little bit, but then we made up and
our pastor stepped in too, And I think out of, you know, concern, genuine concern. And so the pastor's wife and pastor would sit down with us. And really, we just had to, and they had to teach us, like, don't even talk to each other, because every time you talk to each other, you just, you hurt each other. And so just go for a ride and just get some ice cream without talking.
Yes.
Just be together without.
Yeah. I was getting your tissue somewhere. You're good. Keep going.
And so that was kind of the process of just being together and enjoying one another's company without saying anything, without disturbing that. And so it's kind of a, he had this thing where it's like, hey, trust is earned in droplets, you know, you drop eye drops, it's lost in buckets, right? Yeah,
totally.
And so we, you know, we lost trust in our relationship. And so we had to be very careful in what we did or said or, you know, from there forward so we could put the you know, the drops back in.
That's fire.
Yeah.
And so now y'all are just walking down the hallway, holding each other.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's really awesome. Traveling, loving on each other. Okay, so I'm going to put you in the DeLorean. Okay. She likes it too. She's like, yes. She's like, I was like, before he got on it a couple times, I'm like, why am I not in the DeLorean?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm going to put you in the DeLorean. First of all, I'm going to do a marriage one with you. But before I put you in the DeLorean, I want you to put yourself in the DeLorean. A time of your life. It could be any time. It could be during your marriage. It could be before your marriage. It could be, where would you go back to and what would you say to yourself?
Yes, I feel like in that time.
Where would you go? Which time? Are you young?
I'm 21.
21.
That's
okay. So you go back to 21-year-old.
21-year-old.
Allie. And what do you say to her?
And I would say, when we got married, I had this, Allie, when you get married, you need to cling to your husband and forget that your family is in Honduras and you have left them, and this is your husband. This is your family now. Mm-hmm. And you need to realize that you need to cling to him and become one and become better with that one person that God now has given you. You still love your family. That doesn't mean you don't love your mom and dad and extended family. It's just he is your family, and you have to surrender to that.
Yeah, that was a game changer for us.
It's really good.
Yeah.
That's really good.
Yeah.
What would you say? I'm going to put you back. Okay. What would you say to angry Allie? You go back. It's angry Allie. And she is the way she is. And she, I don't know what part of your life, maybe before that you were like that too. What would you say to her? Because if there's someone is listening that's angry and all that, what would you say to her? Because what you know now, what would you say to Allie that was super angry? What would you say to her?
Allie, you have believed a lie about this feelings, this anger feelings, that you need to follow them. But the reality is that they're good servants for you, but terrible masters.
Mm.
And you need to let your choice, your yes, your no, those are the choices that you follow, and then the feelings follow that.
Mm.
But first, make choices and feelings follow.
The accurate choices, right? Choosing the word.
Yes.
And then the feelings follow. Well, we do it backwards, right? We usually go the feelings, and then we got to deal with them. We try to bring the word into that. And it's, I think if people would pause for a moment and run those feelings, because feelings are great. They're given by God, right? They're indicators of what's going on in your heart. Yeah. Like it's like a light in a car.
Yeah.
But at some point, you want to take that feeling, and just because you feel something doesn't mean that it's true. Right? Yeah. Feelings are tricky. But sometimes they're valid.
Yeah.
But you take those feelings and you run them through what the Word of God says, you know, and then you get the right way to do what you need to do.
Yes.
And that's for all of us, right?
Yes.
And so I always say you'll never become spiritually mature until you're emotionally mature.
That's right. You know,
that's right.
Amen.
Yeah,
that's right.
That's a good thing. What would you say? She's like, can I come? Y'all both can get in the car because y'all hold each other, okay. So you can get tight. Yeah. You just got to sit tight because it's a tight ride. It's a tight ride. Y'all sit together.
I'm gonna sit closer to her than
you. What would you say? What would you say to Nathan, the arrogant jerk? Like, what would you say to Nathan with what you know about Allie now and what you know about marriage? What would you say to yourself back then?
Yeah, you know, you need to relax. You need to chill out. You know, your way is not her way, and your way is not necessarily the best way. It is a way, and so you need to really humble yourself to that, and understand that she is she's growing. She needs space to grow. She needs freedom to grow. She needs a good environment to grow in, and you can't control that or make that. You can just be that. And so you got to work on being that, so that you can embrace what the path that she's on alongside you.
That's really good.
Yeah.
Man, you guys done drove the learning all around. Like, you're like, you might have to take a ride home. Okay, so last and final thing.
Okay.
There's people watching, you know, everywhere in their house. They're, you know, all over the place. But there's a lot of people that maybe, you know, you have two unique stories. You know, I can actually have you talk to a girl that maybe is living in and came from another country. And how were you thinking then? So maybe this is another time. Maybe we'll have a whole another time.
Yeah.
But I definitely want you to, if you had advice for a woman,
okay,
for a woman who's angry and stuff like.
Keep that changla on. Don't be throwing changla.
What would you say to a woman who's like maybe lost, doesn't know Jesus, and maybe she's even incarcerated and she's her feelings got her incarcerated, right? Like, damn, I should have never. What were some steps that maybe they could take to, you know, because we could say Jesus, but what are some steps that maybe you could take, that they could take according to your experience in life as a woman to another woman? What would you say to her?
Wow. I feel like I learned to really have the self-control and my anger when I understood my identity as a daughter of Christ, as a daughter of, you know, God. Like, I went through a lot of freedom ministry, like Nathan was saying, but knowing that I am first a daughter and that God has given me unlimited resources. There is a scripture in 1 Peter 5, verse 10, it says, the God of all grace has called me, and he's the one that is going to restore me, support me, confirm, and he's going to restore me back to all that he has created for me to be.
Yeah.
And so first, just that surrendering to the Lord and become a daughter, and from that, he's going to give you all tools. He's going to give you all grace.
Amen.
And it's okay to be angry. He was angry. Jesus was angry. But don't sin. Don't blow it.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for being vulnerable and sharing your heart, and also for the message. You know, I feel like, you know, it's interesting how you just mentioned the word, right? You gave him the word. And that just got me like teary-eyed, because it's the thought of how good God is to people like us, right? We're constantly messing it up, and some in levels that, you know, we all messed it up at some level, and then hopefully the levels are getting smaller, you know, as you keep maturing. But what would be your final word? I believe it's that camera right there.
Okay.
Yeah, what would be your final word?
Man, give me some.
Final word to someone who, same thing, lost, you know. Hey, you might be speaking to your brother right now.
Yeah.
So, you know, what would you say to him?
Yeah, when your circumstances are not who you are, so it kind of lines up with that Allie was saying. Identity is it's a thing to fight for, and you can't look at it and look for it in a worldly sense. And so one it is, find your people that are in and following the Lord. Try to circle yourself with five people who are just on the track of life that you wish you could one day, maybe if something miraculous happened, could be on. invite yourself into those scenarios and hang out, ask those people, can we just have lunch every once in a while? Can you talk to me about life in these arenas that you're thriving in? And then not listening to the internal voices, overcoming those fears that are inside of, am I adequate? Is it possible for me? You know, all those things that are self-defeating, learn to just not listen to those voices and lean into the people that you're surrounding yourself with that love God, that are on the path of God, that you can honor and that will actually show you some developmental things. And listen to that. Listen to it by faith. As it, I don't know if this is going to work out, but I'm going to do it anyway because my way hasn't worked out. And so it's a humility factor. It's a willingness. It's a surrender. It's like, I really am hungry for something different, something better, something greater. And obviously, because of my circumstances, my history, my path, I can't figure it out on my own. So that's a good self-realization that I also had to come to, and I've been better for it. So,
You know, count on me through thick and thin, a friendship that'll never end. I feel like the message I'm hearing, obviously, there's no other friend like Jesus.
Yeah.
No,
but
yeah.
Aside of that, you need community that has Jesus.
Yes, you do.
Right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, I'm a song guy, right? And in my head, I'm like, man, you know, there really sounds like Jesus. And then obviously you need the body.
Mm-hmm.
That's so important. Like having good friends, like being vulnerable to certain people, because that way as a friend, they could either like hold you up or correct you or say, hey, or at least point you in the right direction. Like,
yeah.
Bro, you're really tripping right now. Like, you really need, you know, and not a person who just agrees and goes, forget about him. You know,
that's
like
right.
You're in the world.
That's
you need
right.
somebody that can be totally honest with you.
Yeah.
But also look at you for who you are as a daughter or a son
right.
in Christ, and not look at you for what you've been through or what you're going through. Because I think that's huge. I think
yeah.
a lot of times people look at people for like this moment right here, and you can't do that. And that's not who they are.
Yeah, that's right.
So you need friends that can actually see beyond that
yep.
and can see everything that God has for you and in you.
Yep.
And I think that's the moral and the message of this story.
Yeah.
That God is faithful.
Yeah.
And you need to find some faithful people. Wise counsel only comes from wisdom, and
yeah.
wisdom only comes from God. So the wise counsel that you have, these people have to have wisdom, like they have to have a relationship
yeah,
with Jesus,
that's right.
right?
That's right.
So thank you so much for tuning in
yep.
to This Is Real, show with real people, real problems, real solutions. Oh, see, this is where this is okay.
Hey,
don't
forget to like,
mistakes.
Subscribe, and
don't.
Send it to others. And yeah, do your Instagram, your social media thing.
Hey,
you got
you,
it.
Let me tell you, hold on.
oh.
If they're looking for you.
Oh, for me.
For me, I don't want to cut, and I don't want to do
yeah,
it again.
Man.
But that I appreciate that was really good. The like, subscribe, hit the bell, you know, all that.
Tag a friend.
But I'm going to hold on. I'm going to come back
oh.
and
hey,
say something. If they're like, man, you know, I love this guy's story. I love her story, you know, and you are around Athens,
yeah.
Texas.
Mm-hmm.
You can drive there if you're not too
yeah.
far, right? Church Alive is worth the drive, they say, right? And so where can they, because I, you know, people that are incarcerated, they're from all over the planet watching this. And, they might not be by here, but they might live over there.
Yeah.
How can they find you? How can they find you where you're at? All
yeah,
that?
The name of the church is Thrive Community Church,
mm-hmm.
Athens, Texas. Our website is livewithpurpose.church, livewithpurpose.church. And my wife always has good social media posts. What you got?
They can follow me at Allie Harrington in Instagram. And also, if they're interested in our Airbnb, which is a Selah place, is a place of rest and pause in His presence.
It's fun.
Yeah.
It's fun. Let me tell you something. So when I go out there, I love it. The casita. I love the casita.
Yeah.
Yeah. I enjoy it.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing, guys.
Yes.
It's amazing. But so keep going.
At Selah.place. That's our handle on Instagram too.
S-E-L-A-H. S-E-L-A-H.
Pause for a moment.
Relax.
So there you heard it. Thank you for tuning in to
Thank
This
you.
Is Real.
Yeah.
Real show, real people, real problems, real solutions. Don't forget to tune in next week. You know, do all the things that people say. You already know how to do it. The like, subscribe, all that stuff. Make sure you do it. And we'll catch you on our next episode. Peace.
And that's a wrap.
Thank you, This Is Real family, for joining us. You can be a part of the crew by following us on social media or writing us at P.O. Box 671-626, Houston, Texas 77267.
Don't forget, stay real.